This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We have been up for a good bit of the last 24 hours for the Rolex 24 hours at Daytona. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting here with Les Kaiser, and Mr. Jonathan Green is going to join us from New Zealand in just a moment. Les, I'm sorry. I was almost late to the studio because I had a right rear tire failure.
Really? Yeah, that was a common trait today, I noticed. Over the past, 24 hours anyway, over the past 2 days, that seemed very common.
Oh, man, what a... I love this race. Obviously, we've talked about it last couple of weeks, but I love it just because it is 24 hours and you can catch a nap, you can come back, you can listen to it on the app, on the television, and it was great racing too, because seeing the Cadillacs win and then the Fords win, it was fun. And I want to go down what we have on the show tonight, because we have one of the overall winners. We have Mr. Joao Barbosa coming on at about 7:30. Very exciting. He was after on the television coverage, you were talking about how he was biting his nails because that Cadillac was have a little bit of a limp the last few hours of the race after they built up a big lead. But it was really exciting. But also, Mr. Jonathan Green is about to join us because he is still down in New Zealand and covering the Toyota Racing Series. In fact, I think we have Mr. Green. Mr. Jonathan Green, how are you, sir?
Good morning, boys. How are you?
We are great, and I'm so excited because our producer has some new technology, and you sound awesome, Jonathan, from halfway around the world.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and by the way, what's sleeping? Sleep when you're dead, man. Motor racing to watch.
I have to admit, after a sleeve of Thin Mints watching the race, I dozed off on the sofa a little bit.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookie coma.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe that. I tell you what, boys, we've done an international first here. The only international racing going on at the moment is at Daytona and here in New Zealand, and we've got the winners of both races on the show. I like that.
100% coverage. There you go.
I like that. I like the sound of that, Mr. Jonathan Green. I like you bringing that up. Well, speaking of New Zealand and the Toyota Racing Series, what's going on? I know you got some interviews for us, but you're another week, which means you're another quarter of the way through the series down there. What's going on?
Yeah, we're actually halfway through the season. That's how much we are. We're actually 9 races in, and we're 3 rounds in. So we've had 3 rounds at each venue. This weekend, we were at Hampton Downs, which is just outside Auckland. Beautiful weather. It's the hottest summer on record here at the moment in New Zealand. So we're praying for a little bit of rain, which I'm sure won't... won't excite you given you've got the middle of winter at the moment. But it's going really well. And the championship has been, it's been one of the cleanest championships we've had in years. And what I mean by that is that they're not crashing into each other and they're not taking each other out. Repairs have been to a minimum. Finally, we saw a bit of fisticuff in round three. You know, there's a few guys sort of to try and win. Marcus Armstrong, New Zealand, the local favourite, has been dominating most of the races by literally just finishing on the podium. But now his team, Richard Vasseur, has stepped up, getting two wins, and now he puts himself a little bit of change at the top, but it's the same team we're talking about, M2 competition.
All right. Well, Jonathan, we lost you a little bit. Why don't we play one of these interviews? Why don't you set up one of the interviews for us, Jonathan, because I know you sent us a couple of them that you got earlier today or yesterday. So why don't you set up one of the interviews for us?
About the Richard Vasseur interview, first of all, because Richard, at the moment, because the starts had a few DNFs. But of the last two rounds, he's won several races, including two this weekend, and more importantly, the big race of the weekend, which was the New Zealand Motor Cup, which goes back to the heydays of the greats of Jim Sterling. They're all on that trophy, so everybody wants to win this trophy, and he did it in style. So, Vasseur.
Well, Richard, congratulations. It's a big trophy, but it's also a very meaningful one.
It is definitely. I mean, when I came over the finish line, I was so happy. It was so different feeling than like yesterday when I won the race. I mean, there's a lot of history on this trophy, and I'm really happy to be part of it now.
Tell me about the race, because there was a couple of touchy moments there. Obviously, you had a good start, but Marcus was there then at the restart again, and then towards the end.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting race, I would say. And start, he was really good, but I was good enough, let's say it like that. Then the restart was actually really good. As soon as I got the call, you control the pace, I went flat out. So I got a big gap there, so not really a lot to defend. And then towards the end, to be honest, I made a small mistake. I went over the marbles. I ran wide, and then he came really close. But I made sure I had a really good exit of the last turn, and at the end, there wasn't really big pressure, but I mean, he was close.
I know the family and your fans will be watching back in Holland, and I'm sure you'll be calling them tonight, but that's a pretty special prize for your career so far.
It is really.
Listen, let me ask you one other thing. You've been saying all along that, you know, you're too far behind in the points. You're not too far behind in the points now as we go to Taupo. How do you feel about the championship?
Yeah, it's still far, but not too far, I would say. Anything can happen, and I was really focused on getting my qualifying ride because it wasn't my strongest point. I'm really, really happy with the team, how they worked to get me there. At the end, we took double pole, so that's really amazing. And at the end, it gave me two wins. So this is really how we should continue, and I mean, I think we really can.
What about Taupo and Manfield? Are they circuits that you go well at and you enjoy racing?
Definitely Manfield. I would say Taupo wasn't the best for me last year, but anything can change. So I'm really focused, and I'm really happy to go back there.
Keep that smile on your face still, Taupo.
Thank you, mate.
All right, so that's Richard Vasseur, but we have Jonathan still down there halfway around the globe in New Zealand. We're still having a little bit of technical difficulties, but it sounds a lot cleaner than it has. But Jonathan, are you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you loud and clear right now. What's the next interview? Let's set that one up.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Marcus Armstrong, who is continuing to lead the championship as he has from the very start. And Marcus is an interesting character because he is from New Zealand. He's very much in the Scott Dixon mold, which is he's very serious. He's very businesslike. And he grew up with Tony Kartz in Europe and spent most of his and so to some time the last 2 years that he's ever raced in New Zealand. So anyway, I spoke to Marcus after the championship at the halfway point.
Another strong and consistent weekend, and once again, Marcus, you're leading the championship and you've got the points you need.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's been the almost trending topic of these last 3 weeks is points, 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 points. So today was, more of the same, although I would have liked to have won the race. That's how it goes.
I was going to say, it looked as though from the way you were acting in the car that you really wanted that trophy, but it just wasn't to be.
Yeah, I think I did actually really want that trophy. I got pretty close to him on the, I think, maybe second to last lap or the last lap. And to be honest with you, I thought I had it. But that's how it goes.
So is the plan maybe to try to get to Manfield and get to the Grand Prix, having won the championship, then you can go for glory?
That would be ideal. Unfortunately, racing is never that simple. You know, there's a long way to go still. But yes, that's what I would like to do, so I can go full attack for the Grand Prix.
Well, you're still leading for New Zealand, and that's what they want, is to see a New Zealand champion. So well done.
Thank you very much.
All right, so Jonathan, I want to ask you one more question. What about our boy from the United States? I know he's not a native, but he's an American down there, and we're going to take whatever we can get down in New Zealand at the Toyota Racing Series. What about our U.S. boy? How's he doing? You know what? I think we're gonna have to drop it. Unfortunately, we are having trouble getting Jonathan from around the globe, man. I mean, I know it seems simple, but getting someone from halfway around the world is a little
tricky. Always the red wire.
No, that's in bomb defusing. Don't cut the red one.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad I wasn't working on that assignment.
Well, anyway, we may try to get Jonathan back here in a minute, but we'll see. But yeah, Toyota Racing Series, check that thing out, because it, like Jonathan said, it's one of the only other things going on right now. But it's also one of the cool feeder series to virtually any formula driving around the globe. And it's got a bunch of young guys and a bunch of great people have come through the Toyota Racing Series to go on to Formula One, to Indy, you name it. But Les, let's do a little bit of preview, because we do have João Barbosa, one of the overall winners in the last 24
in the
hours.
I know why you called him specifically.
No way, man. I was like, I want one of those winners. And I'm just excited because, well, first of all, João's a great guy. We've had him on the show before.
Yeah, he's fun. He's the one that, like, scared his wife to death at Daytona when he put her in the car and took her for a few laps a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, so, but the Cadillac, we're going to ask him about this, but I mentioned it a while ago, but they limped in a little bit on the last, I don't know, it was a few hours in, but they, and some of the other, you know, it wasn't a perfect day for Cadillac by any stretch. I mean, obviously when you win, it pretty much heals all the other wounds. But it wasn't a perfect day for Cadillac, and I probably got to see of the race, I don't know, probably 6 or 8 hours total. And obviously I was rooting for the four GTs, pretty hard not to, and the Corvettes and battling against those guys. And what about you, Les? Anything that jumps out at you?
You know, I was really just enjoying a lot of the battles that were going on. I was so disappointed with you know, one of the teams crashing on the formation lap to begin with, before the flag went green. But it was exciting to me seeing the thunderstorm roll in early in the race when they were not expecting it until the next day, till this morning. And so, you know, if you've listened to Speed City a while, you know where I go with that some groups don't race in the rain. And the last time I had a discussion with somebody of certain knowledge, they said, well, that's because you can't race on speedway banks in the rain. I rest my case.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break, because when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Rolex 24 at Daytona. This was the 56th running and was historic on a number of different fronts. And we're going to talk about those. You're listening to Speed City Live in Austin, Texas. We'll be back after these short messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome, and financing available. To Caddy Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motor Cars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Listen to your favorite shows. Keep up with the latest breaking news and more anytime at Talk1370.com. Talk1370, the right choice.
So, Andy Prio driving for Ford Chip Ganassi Racing, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, so we were talking about the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, and we're going to get back to that in just a moment. But I want to talk about a couple of cars that we've driven this week, Mr. Kaiser. You got to drive out on the Circuit of the Americas. I got to drive in downtown Austin during 5 o'clock traffic. But
oh, that must have been wicked.
It was, yeah. I got almost halfway through the RPM band in first gear and then had to slow down. But I drove something really cool.
I was going
to
say, wait. Yeah,
you don't even know what I drove.
No,
this is
a surprise. I'm like, seriously, dude, quit.
You remember
quit
about
teasing.
2 or 3 months ago, I asked you, have you heard of the new Kia Stinger? And you were like, I'd heard of it, but you didn't know the facts yet. It's actually a pretty cool car. I pulled into the parking garage, and a buddy of mine, I didn't know it, but I saw this out of the corner of my eye. I always had a BMW 6, like a four-door 6. And as I looked closer, I realized, no, that's not. It was a red Kia Stinger. And if you haven't seen this car, it's pretty cool. And, you know, just to me, a little bit surprising from
Kia.
Did
he get the GT model?
Oh, yeah. He got this.
Oh,
this thing was pretty decked out. And this thing has 370 horsepower. It's like a twin turbo.
That's a good little starter car.
Yeah. Not bad for a four-door sedan.
No, that
is
cool.
Especially for the price. It was under 50 grand. It was a 3.3-liter twin turbo 6. And I forgot how many gears. It's probably, everything these days, what, 6, 8, 10 speed automatic. It's an automatic. It's not a dual clutch or anything, just standard automatic. And just like I said, I was just riding around town. But it's a pretty cool car. And the only complaint that I can think of, even, it seemed to handle pretty good.
Okay, but the other part you missed that's really important to me is its rear wheel drive.
Oh, yes, thank you. That is the most important thing about this car. I mean, the fact that you just don't get that many. But it had a little turbo lag at the beginning. That may just be me being spoiled with big V8s, SRT8s that I drive every day. But it obviously, it didn't take, you know, turbos these days spin up fast. And it was maybe 1,800 RPMs, and it was hitting it pretty good.
Well, but, had you been able to get it out of first gear,
yeah,
you would have realized that you could get to 60 miles per hour in 4.7 seconds.
Yeah, that is pretty fast, actually.
365 horsepower.
Yep.
376 foot-pounds. That's pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool car. Very impressed. Lots of tech inside it. A heads-up speedometer that you could adjust lots of things. You could adjust where on the dashboard. I mean, on the windshield it showed up. You could adjust the brightness. It was pretty cool.
Okay, but you know I love BMWs, but that's faster than the 440 Coupe.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's, in fact, the article that I read in Motor Trend, I think it was, said that the Kia, to get a faster four-door, you had to,
spend a whole lot more.
Well, yeah, you had to spend a whole lot more. I think the closest thing to it was, and in fact, was an SRT8, like a SCAT package. In fact, not an SRT, but the SCAT package RT, either a Charger or a Challenger. And both of those were about a tick or two faster, 0-60. But it was a cool car. But you got to drive some really cool cars on a really cool racetrack.
Oh, yeah. And the head of the Audi driving experience at Circuit of Americas will be joining us here in a little bit. But I got to take out all the new RSs. And so that was the TT, the 3RS, and the... The other one.
Oh, just the little R8.
V10 R8.
Now, that one's the plus with 610 horse.
It's wicked. It is positively wicked.
Well, we'll hear more about that later in show. But
that experience is really cool. So not just the cars, but this is something you can get out there and do truly, yes, on the Circuit of Americas.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Joao Barbosa here in just a few minutes, one of the overall winners at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. Really excited to hear how he went in that Cadillac. But speaking of the Rolex, there was some pretty historic stuff that happened today because of the reliability and the technology, but there was a couple of records that were broken. For example, the lap and mileage records actually were broken. The lap record was, they did 808 laps.
And that is crazy.
So that's a new record. And then they completed 2,876.48 miles. So, in fact, that lap record was broken, let's see, at 120. So what, the race ended, I think, at 140. So with about 20 minutes to go. So that was pretty cool. And but those are the biggest ones that were broken. So that's pretty cool to see the reliability. I mean, it wasn't perfect all day, and there was all those right rear punctures. That there was a lot of chatter on Twitter I saw about Continental Tire, but you know, there was also some speculation by the TV commentators about what was causing that. The bolts coming up, they were holding some of the in the corners that were holding some of the berms and stuff. So yeah.
I don't know about that. I would be surprised if that was what was coming up, but yeah. Why it was so consistently for the back right tire. And, you know, some of the teams actually just took their vehicles out of competition over it because of the concern, considering the speed that they're moving when it fails like that. So that's a serious concern when somebody steps out of a race like that.
Yeah, and obviously that was not. That was a big deal. There was a lot of folks that were not happy, and you know, obviously they're not going to be. But what about the big field of competition this year? You know, we talked about this in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I loved seeing the track so busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, from a driver's standpoint, I don't know that I'd be so enamored with it, but it was great. There was a lot of things going on all the time. All the way from, you know, the lower classes all the way up to the top. And so, you know, I always like seeing the mix. And as they have the faster classes passing the slower classes, I like seeing that. And, you know, again, that's something that a lot of drivers don't like. But it, visually, as an audience or spectator, I think it's a lot more exciting.
Well, what about Ryan Briscoe and Joey Hand in the 67 and the 66 Ford GTs taking the GTLM class? That was awesome to see.
Yeah, that's cool to see them fly through there. And Ganassi just, you know, super ecstatic. What a season they've had. And here they are kicking off the new one. I love it.
Yep. And then, of course, down in the GTD class, Lamborghini took the title there. Let's see, it was Lamborghini and then the Acura NSX, and another Lamborghini in the Huracan and the GT3 Huracan, and of course, so yeah, it was a great day. And our folks that we've had on recently, Lawson Ostrombeck, he ended up 11th in the GTD class, and those Acura NSXs, I mean, they looked pretty fast on and off. I didn't really get to watch that part of that race real closely, though.
Yeah, I saw them for a while as well, not as much as I would have liked to. I think, you know, the 24 is still their first real run with it, and they're still dialing it in. We'll see what they do with Sebring coming up.
Well, you know, we haven't mentioned at all Fernando Alonso. You know, it was obviously there was a ton of coverage with him all day, and but they, you know, obviously it's not the place he wanted to end up.
Well, and he said even during his interviews, one of the interviews I saw, he said he was surprised how little seat time he had available before the race. You know, he was at the Roar. He was doing all these things. But the IndyCar race last year, he had far more seat time in the weeks leading up to it than he did for this. And this is a 24-hour race. And so he said, you know, you've got to cope with a lot of things. You've got to cope that you've got two other drivers sharing your car. So it can't just absolutely be dialed in for you specifically. And that's not something he's really ever dealt with.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I heard Fernando say something. And when they first said it, I was like, wait, what's he talking about? He said that he'd never raced at night. But if you think about it, the F1 track, Singapore, they are lit up like daylight.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are. It's not really racing at night. So when he first said it, I was like, wait a minute, how's that? And then realized that's what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, guys, let's go ahead and take a break, because when we come back, we're going to have one of the winners of the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona.
I wonder how much champagne he's had by now.
Yeah. Let's hope he's not had enough where he can't have a good conversation with us. We're going to have Joao Barbosa with us in just a couple minutes. Stick with us. You're listening to Speed City live here in Austin. Back after quick messages.
The racetrack, it's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Hello, I'm Felipe Massa, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. We're talking Rolex 24 Hours at Daytona, and we're
going to have to talk Continental after Zhao.
Yeah, that's true. But we're really very excited, because we have one of the winners, one of the overall winners, Joao Barbosa. Joao, welcome back to Speed City, man. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, well, welcome back.
We weren't sure we were going to get you. We thought you might be celebrating.
Actually, we are. We're just having, after a 24-hour race, celebration is pretty mellow. Everybody just wants to go to bed and have a good night of sleep, because we don't get that much during the race.
Well, I haven't thought of that aspect, and I can certainly understand when it's true.
Well, one of your PR guys said that he might be able to call around 7:30 Central Time, but he's going to be driving in the car. And I thought, wait a minute, he's already been driving for hours and hours. What's he doing driving again? Are you actually driving? Is someone driving you, or you already made it to where you were going?
No, I know. The plans have changed because my initial plan was to drive after the race to North Carolina, right? And after the win, the team scheduled a dinner to get to group everybody and just enjoy the great achievement that we all had this Sunday. So I decided to leave the driving for tomorrow. So I'm still here in Daytona Beach.
Well, that's great. And we definitely want to give a big congratulations to you and all the team, because, let's face it, the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona is, the 56th running this year. And it's one of those things that you have on your resume and on your wrist that is one of the most coveted in motorsports.
Yeah, I mean, any race, it's not easy, but especially a 24-hour race at Daytona. It's just an unbelievable feeling. winning a 24-hour race, it's super, super hard. Obviously, it doesn't come down just to the drivers. The drivers get to get probably the best part, which are the watches, the Rolex watches. But, I mean, it's just the hard work that all the crew, they are up for 36 hours to prepare the race. And they don't sleep. They're always there. Right? I mean, it's super, super hard. I mean, it's probably one of the toughest races in the world here at Daytona, for sure.
Yeah, and the pace and the depth of competition now. But I got to ask you a question. This is, I mean, I know Cadillac had a great last year and everything, but I mean, this is really a big deal. What it seems like it to me. What does this mean to Cadillac?
I mean, after the win last year, everybody's like, oh, the Cadillac, they're so dominant. There's not really a lot of competition. But this year, things have changed dramatically. There was the Acura, there was the Mazda, there was a bunch of other very successful European teams with excellent driver lineups on all of those. There was probably like 10, 15 cars with a real shot of winning the race. And Cadillac still came out on top. So it just goes to show that Cadillac, it's here to stay. I mean, they did a tremendous job with this Cadillac, with the Cadillac DPI VR. And it showed people, when Team Penske came to the championship and Team Joss from Europe, they're like, you guys are going to be struggling because those guys are too strong. You know, they're like very well-known teams, super... a super team. I mean, who doesn't know about Team Penske in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
So we had one of the toughest competitions that I can remember here at the Rolex 24, and Cadillac still came out on top. And especially for our guys in the Action Express Racing to finish first and second in this race was just a truly amazing statement of the quality of what these guys can do. And it's going to be like that too towards the end of the season as well. I mean, we still have 9 races to go, but they can count on the Action Express and the Mustang Sampling Cadillac DPI to be up there very, very consistently.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you guys have got a tremendous team. And like we had Christian Fittipaldi on, and I know I saw him after the race talking about his transition, how he's moving out of the driver's seat into a little different role. But obviously Action Express is one of those teams that's put together a tremendous, yourself and the rest of the team. They're going to be competitive. And I do want to jump back to Cadillac one last question though. I mean, to me, the success they're having, what do you think? Do you think they might take on Le Mans, Spa, that World Endurance?
I think would be very difficult. The way the rules are in Europe doesn't really allow cars like the Cadillac DPI VR to race there, which I think is a shame and very unfortunately, because these are excellent cars that people in Europe would love to see these cars running in the Le Mans 24-hour race. And a lot of people talk about it. Why don't you allow these Cadillacs and to run in Europe? You know, the rules are a little bit different.
Sure.
The French organizer are a little more close, and they like to protect their space. So it's really a shame, but I don't think Cadillac, especially with this car at this point, they don't really have a championship that they can race on.
I think it's a shame. Absolutely a shame. I want to see everybody on the world stage, you know, as much as possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not an equal footing if we can't go head to head. So, but, so what are some of the things that you particularly see different with this car in the way it's being developed? I know you've still got some things to shake out. I mean, you still got Sebring that's going to rattle your teeth. Are y'all going to Sebring?
Yes. I mean, Sebring is last year we finished second at Sebring and Daytona. So, hopefully, since we finished first at Daytona, now we can finish first at Sebring, right? Sebring is one of the grueliest races and racetracks in the world. It's super, super hard. But our Cadillac, it ran the whole season without any mechanical problems. We didn't miss a beat. We just covered the longest distance ever at Daytona in the 24-hour race. So it's kind of a record right now as well.
Yeah.
So it's it just proves to not only the quality of the work the guys put every day at the race shop to prepare the Cadillac, but how strong the Cadillac really is. And I think we can continue to see the reliability of the Cadillac Daytona. Now it's going to be Sebring and throughout the year as well.
Well, speaking of the reliability, I know there was definitely some concerns there the last few hours of the race. How was that? You guys worrying about that, especially when you're having just sitting in the pits, not behind the wheel. You know, when you're behind the wheel, you got plenty to think about and plenty to do. But how was that for you and the rest of the team?
It was super hard. It started when I was in the car. We were having some overheating issues, and I started my stint pretty well, and then they told me we're going to need to change our method here and our attitude to the race, because otherwise we're not going to finish. So they come up with a plan. We needed to cool down the engine as most as we could inside the car, and which is not easy. And they say, okay, so the next step is you guys cannot go full throttle, not even on the straights anywhere. So luckily, by that time, we had a three-lap lead compared to the second-place finish, and it was just a strategy from the team to see how slow can we go and still finish first, right? So
yeah,
that's what we did. I mean, the last 4 hours, we were like between 60 to 70% throttle on the straights. We were like, people were driving by, and when you drive slow, these kind of cars, it's even almost more difficult, because the Continental tires, they don't work as well when they're not as hot. The brakes, they don't work as well, because the carbon brakes, they work really high temperature. So there's a lot of other things that start to come into the mix that you're not really used to, because you're always pushing them very hard. So
yeah, you got to get them up into the operating.
Let me tell you, just the last 20 minutes, the last 5 minutes, even the last lap, we were like praying that everything was going to be okay, and it did. So it was very, very cool.
And what about that? Speaking of the last lap, you guys, the last lap, the one right before that, everybody thought, well, they're going to be done and they're not going to have to go another lap. But I think you were about 10 seconds over and had to go one more lap. That one had to be scary, because everyone was thinking, oh no, if something happens now, that is just a nightmare. Or, you know, you never live that one down.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of a risk that we kind of took on conscience, because the margin that we had for the other guys was not that big at this point, because we were managing our pace to the checkered flag. And if we would lose those 20 seconds, and if something would come up, then we would be in really big trouble.
Yeah.
So we decided not to waste 20 seconds like that and just risk it a little bit more to do an extra lap, an extra minute, 40 seconds. But, I mean, at the end it paid off. I think it was the right call. So it's definitely, there was talks about that on the strategy stand with engineers, and all the team were discussing all the possibilities, and they took the right approach. We end up bringing home the Rolex watches and the trophy.
You know, that's such a big deal to me. You know, I think having a Rolex Daytona, it is absolutely my favorite watch on the planet. But having one that you got for winning the race, that is just got to be...
The race the watch was named after.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just got to be an incredibly special.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. This was always my favorite watch ever. And to win a Rolex Daytona, when you drive a Daytona, it's, I can tell you, it's very, very special. And I'm very fortunate to have won the race.
Well, there's a sense of responsibility that comes with this, Zhao. I want you to know you can no longer be late.
People ask me, because I've been even more fortunate. I won this race overall three times, and I won in class one, so that makes quite a few watches already. But people are always asking me, do you wear the watches? Do you use them? Do you like, or do you have it in the safe? I was like, I wear the watch, of course. You know, it's
yeah,
just a constant reminder of how hard of a work I had to get the watch, and constant reminder that if I want another one, I have to keep working, right? So it's if you store it in the box and you never see it again, then it's a lot of hard work to get the watch, and I wear mine very frequently, and I have to say I'm very proud of my achievement to get the watch, and it just reminds me that I need to keep working very hard to if I want to try and get another one. So it's very cool.
Well, I know that it's one of those special things. What about Le Mans? I know you know now that you got another Daytona under your belt. What about Le Mans? I know you've raced it, but if I'm not mistaken, I don't think you've had a win there.
No, Le Mans. I've done Le Mans, I think, 9 times. I got on the podium once, but I never got the win. And who doesn't want to be a Le Mans? It's a beautiful racetrack for the drivers. It's awesome, and winning a Le Mans is also, right? I mean, I imagine it has to be super special as well. It's like I said, I mean, winning a 24-hour race is never easy and is very unpredictable. I tried it a few times, didn't work out. I tried a little bit, a fewer times at Daytona, and I was more successful there. So it's one of those things. You never know what you're going to get when you're into a 24-hour race. You know your chances, but the tables turn around so fast that it's always unpredictable.
Well, Joao Barbosa, I really appreciate you coming on Speed City. I'm going to let you go and go celebrate with the rest of your team. And I know you're going to have a nice, safe drive up tomorrow. What I have to ask you, what are you going to be driving up tomorrow?
I'll be driving my Cadillac Escalade, obviously.
There you go. There you go. Company man. That's a good highway ride for sure. Well, congratulations again, Joao Barbosa. We really appreciate you coming on Speed City. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Congratulations today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, guys.
You bet. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you.
And what a heck of a nice guy, too.
Yeah, he's always one of those that you could just see hanging out with him.
Yep, absolutely. I'd like to grab a beer with old Joao Barbosa. You probably get some good bench racing stories. But all right, guys, well, we are going to go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we got another guest on the show because we got the head of the Audi driving experience out here at Circuit of the Americas right down the road a piece from us. So tune back in. We'll be back after these short messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome, and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Talk 1370. Hey, this is Red Rocker Sammy Hagar. You are listening to Speed City.
Woo!
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Sammy Hagar bringing us back. Sammy Hagar, this weekend I had dinner with extended family, and it's a story, you know, those dinner stories they got around to Have you ever run into a celebrity or whatever? And obviously tons of race drivers. But I said, I got to spend an entire afternoon with Sammy Hagar out at Circuit of the Americas. And he was a heck of a nice guy.
He was over
the top. I mean, just really helpful.
70 years old this past year.
I know.
Right after
crazy.
That was his birthday.
Well, we're going to bring on the Audi driving experience gentleman here in just a second. But I got to ask you something. Thursday, you went to Ducati here in Ducati Austin and got to see the new Panigale.
Panigale V4.
Yeah, sorry.
Not
just the new one, but so there's only like four of these in the country
now. Yeah, they're amazing. Oh, this thing sounds great. And, you know, a lot of folks question, okay, they're moving away from the twin to the V4. Does it still sound right? Does it pull right?
I'm assuming you got to drive it. I mean, one of only four in the country, I know, but I know Les Kaiser. There's nothing going to stop you, whether it's legal or otherwise.
There were several people standing between me and the keys to the bike. Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah, the key fob was under tight security.
But you got to hear it and get on it and start it and stuff.
Yeah, so we'll get around to that. May have to use Jonathan to get that one out.
Yeah, there you go.
But I did get out this week, special invitation by the head of the Audi driving experience based here at the Circuit of the Americas.
Awesome.
Had such a blast. Eli Mendoza, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Les. Good evening, everybody. How are you all doing?
Man, we're
great.
Doing
How
great.
You doing?
So you know, I've still just been bouncing off the walls, you know, expressing my love of Audi and all the things we did the other day. And for folks that don't know what a driving experience is, it's fun, number one, but it's also educational. Can you elaborate on that, Ellie?
Well, I'm more than glad to. Our experience is defined, as you're saying, that as a driving experience, not necessarily a racing or a driving school. So our focus really is, you know, for everybody who participates to have a great time as we are doing what we do. And in the course of that, we do impart all of the basics of car control in an environment that, as you can attest, is all about everybody, you know, kind of learning as you're playing, if you will. So we have an opportunity to not only give you some theory that can be very barren if you just look at it on a classroom level, but we take it out to our dynamic exercise laws. We take it out to the track. And then, of course, before you know it, your smile is there for a few weeks. So I think that pretty much sums it up.
Well, I gotta ask this question, because when I've told people about this, the very first question everybody asks is, how fast do I get to go back on the back straight? Because I've done a driving experience like this before, and I was flat out, of course, coming out of turn 11 as fast as I could, flat out down the straight, and foot in the gas. And I just look over at the instructor and say, so you're the instructor. You tell me when I let off, because I'm not letting off. I see all that gravel, hundreds of feet of gravel. I figure there's plenty of room for error. So let's answer the question. How fast do people get to drive out there?
Let's put it in perspective. You will go as fast as you can go. It all depends on the length of our straightaway, which we have a really long straightaway at the back. But then, of course, how much power and the gearing of the cars. It really all comes down to how far you want to push it. And our instructors are always, of course, looking out for safety first, which, of course, kind of kills the idea of, well, we're going to go really fast. But speed is relative. The moment you learn to extend your limits to drive faster, you have a lot more fun with it. And at one point, the top speed really doesn't become much of a talking point, more than you know you are an awesome driver who can control the car much better than anybody else. And yes, of course, you get to go really, really fast.
Well, you know,
so I'm gonna ask you, Les Kaiser, how fast did you go?
I'm gonna plead the fifth and stand behind Ellie there, but faster than I've been on Highway 130. How's that? But I'll say this, Ellie's got a great group of instructors and coaches there, and all different caliber. I mean, there were Indy drivers, there were, you know, folks that I recognized from SCCA, there are folks I recognize from the high performance track day experiences that come through, things like that. I mean, so he's got a solid staff there.
Yeah. Well, Ellie, I want to ask you, speaking of that, the actual instruction that you get, I mean, are people actually going to get a pretty good level of instruction, a little about how to, you know, braking and cornering and some actual driving knowledge that they'll be able to take away and be a better driver?
Oh, absolutely. Everything we teach, really follows, you know, there is no magic thread out there to create. The basics of car control have been in practice and taught, you know, with the best schools out there. And we are very proud to carry the family legacy, you know, that Audi has been in motorsports forever. But also, we have created courses that start with the basics. We have our dynamic course, which is a half day for beginners, people who have never thought about going to the track. People who really, you know, maybe see this as something foreign, really, really far out from the realm. But once you get into that, you start to learn, kind of like learning tennis, like learning to ski. You get the basics. You start to go, you know, learn where to brake, how to brake, which is very, very important. Then you learn about the line. You learn about taking the turns in the best, not only the fastest, but the safest way. I'm sorry that I keep bringing safety into this, but the better driver you are, the better that you execute the technique to go fast also makes you a safer driver. So we designed the courses to take you from the very basic, we call it the dynamic course, then go up to what we call the track initiation, because on our second course, which is also half day, we take you into the track and start getting into what we call the racing line. Learn the racing line, start to learn how to learn the track. Then we go a step further with our advanced full day, that is the RA track initiation. And by this time, you have already driven out these top cars. You've driven the TTRS, the RS3, and we get you into the R8. And then we start to teach you how to handle all of the power of this supercar, start to learn how the pros learn the track, and start piecing it all together. You know, and I like to say that it's kind of like learning to play a song. You learn the first five notes, then you learn the second set of five notes, and then at the last part of the day, you put it all together, and it just becomes an incredible symphony. So that's how we have assembled our courses. And then for those who want to go full-on hardcore motorsports, we have a two-day advanced course that really gets into going faster, and also we start to teach more in advanced car control, drifting. We like to bring in also the Scandinavian flick. For those of you who have ever seen rally driving, that's what those guys do. So we do that in the R8.
Oh, cool.
So,
well,
all in all, it's good car control.
I did the Skip Barber Open Wheel Racing School, and we did about, I'm trying to remember, I think it was probably, this is a couple of decades ago, but I think we probably did 10 to 20% of our time in the classroom. And I thought, and when I first read that, I was like, oh, man, I want 90% or 95% in the car. But that classroom part was really, really important. And there's no doubt. And so how much in the standard course, which I saw on COTA's website, it's like $595. How much of that is in the classroom and how much is in the vehicle?
Well, all in all, we spend the first part of the day or the morning with a 20-minute briefing that goes through the basics and some of the protocols about the driving. But then we go out to the dynamic loss for our instructors, and as Liz was saying, we have an incredible crew. We have, painstakingly found a really great, not only great racers in their own right, but also people who love to communicate this. So in the course of the morning or the afternoon that you take the course, you always have your teachers with you. We have a great Audi garage where we also have all of the presentation materials there. So we always have our classroom with us wherever we go. So that kind of becomes, as I was saying, a learning as you play, as you go through the day. All in all, we have you're probably more than doing more than 2.5 hours of actual car time, plus every break.
Well, and it's not without its element of some racing, let's say. It's more like an autocross, you know, the parking lot cone racing, you know, and so you get the opportunity to go through that, see your skills, and compete a bit against your classmates. And that was a lot of fun.
Well, I was bummed that I couldn't get to do this. And since neither one of you guys are going to tell us how fast you can actually go, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back out and do this. And I'm going to set my phone up and I'm going to do Facebook Live. And you guys can watch how fast I can go down the back straight at COTA.
Like I said, you get plenty fast, believe me, folks. And it also is that, you know, now, John is questioning if I actually won the autocross, Ellie.
Yeah. He's telling me he won. I'm not like, no, I want to, where's the paper? Where's the certificate? Was he the fastest one out there that day?
Well, you just said it. You have to go there physically, and I will show it to you because I am not going to break any magic here.
All right. Well, you got it. Well, Ely, thank you for coming on Speed City. We appreciate it. And this is a really cool experience. You can do it at Circuit of the Americas.
Check out all the packages. You don't need to be any special driver education. If you drive already on the public roads, you're qualified. CircuitofAmericas.com/drive. Check it out. You're going to love this.
Thanks a lot, Ely. Appreciate you coming on the show.
It was a pleasure, John. Les, thank you so much for the opportunity. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
You want to do it.
Of course I want to do it.
I'm just saying everybody wants to do this. It's a great series of events. Starts off, you know, $595 for the first one. You're out in Audi's, you know, best vehicles of each of their bodies. And, you know, I was out in the RS3, the TTRS, and the R8 V10 Plus and put every one of them through their paces. And they want you to. They want you to understand what is so great about the Audi line.
Well, you know what? We haven't even talked about this, is there's some bike testing going on right now. I mean, I know you got to go check out the new Panigale at Ducati Austin, but there was some preseason testing going on at Sepang. And the Ducati, speaking of Ducati, they actually had a pretty good day. So, I mean, we're going to get a lot more into the two-wheeled side of things before you know it. And, in fact, obviously, our man Jonathan Green is down there in New Zealand right now. He's probably still listening. And you know what? Let's try one last try with the technology and see if Mr. Green is still there. Jonathan, are you still around, buddy?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
It's weird. We get the first 30 seconds, and then you start breaking it up. So you got 30 seconds to tell us something cool.
I think he just gets excited.
You know, a lot of girlfriends tell me the same thing.
I knew that setup would be a home run. I knew that you'd take that and run with it. Did you get to see the testing, the two wheels, Jonathan?
Yeah. No, Ducati, I mean, Dovizioso was top on the times. It was good to see. Lorenzo was up there as well. But, yeah, I mean, Ducati, as we had Vito on the other week, Ducati have got a good shot at taking the title this year. But it's always, as always, going to be tough. But it's a brand new year, and they're coming here in April, so we'll get to see them.
All right. Well, Jonathan, thanks for coming on, buddy. I know that the technology was great, but we didn't quite have a good enough connection for the around the world connection there from the Toyota Racing Series. But I know you'll be back in Austin in a couple. It'll be pretty quick. What is it? A couple of weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'll be back in a few weeks. Just ask Zhao to check his tires and his fluids before he takes off tomorrow.
Yeah, check that right rear tire pressure, of course. All right, thanks, Jonathan. What else, Les? We just got about 30 seconds left here.
We can't miss out without talking about our partner a little bit. Sponsored by Mosing Motor Cars, Jeff Mosing and Eric Foss took out in their new AMG. We started out way in the back. They're still shaking down the bugs of the car, but they progressed from back in the 20s all the way up to 8th spot in the Continental race on Friday.
Oh, nice. Yeah, in the Continental tires. And so looks like we got 30 seconds left, so we're going to let it wrap up. I wish Alonso had done better. That would have been a great story. I know with him and Lando Norris and the boys were hoping to do better, but it was a great 24 Hours of Daytona. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and we will talk to you next week. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and, of course, Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest, YouTube. We'll talk to you next week.
Travel safe, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.